She doesn't have to report.
No, but they can run it, right?
They can.
They can run it, say to you.
So instead of saying progress reports, we can say every 60 days.
Software they use?
They need to run the report that shows how many are passed.
I think it was Cornerstone or Avalark, it was one of the bigger ones.
Cornerstone, you can do it very soon.
I don't think you can search on Avalark.
It's a click and a report.
No, Avalark's a convoluted.
Yes, I don't think you can search on Avalark, not open records.
Cornerstone, it's a click and a report, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
You don't want to call it a progress report, what do you want to call it?
Well, I just wanted to be clear to them what.
Summary of what?
The report from.
How many are left?
A summary of Dr. Calderon's uncompleted records.
Uncompleted records.
Every 60 days.
And who's reviewing that? Victoria's just going to monitor it and let us know, like something like that?
She doesn't have to.
Thanks so much.
She didn't even have to look at it, throw it in the packet and look at it. Throw it in file on the cloud, we'll look at it. Don't make them do any extra work. Well, you got to put it on the cloud, I'm sorry.
Okay, so is that?
And when she doesn't submit, who's responsible for calling and reminding her that, oh, by the way, your 60 days is up, Mr. Lowe?
The probation filed.
Yeah,
and who's responsible for knowing?
Probation filed.
Are you going to remember in 60 days, I didn't get that report?
If not signed within 30 days, we did that part, all right?
I thought we were done.
Not following this, not completing this within the 100 days probation without any deviation from this consent agreement results in a, well, let's do a state suspension for a year. Right?
I'm just wondering, I'd be like, here's $1,000.
And if any of these, if any of these aren't done in compliance, the stay is lifted.
Yeah, let me propose an alternative. Based upon what I'm hearing, it might be better to go with the suit, you know, have like, you know, it's not a consultant, but somebody come in and work with her on addressing all of the deficient records and then monitoring that her current records are kept in accordance with you know, the statutes and rules, and then the consultant or whoever you want to, you know, call this particular person can submit, you know, quarterly reports for the year, and she has a year to cure, you know, the incomplete records.
Sounds like you're taking my sledgehammer and handing me a rubber mallet.
I'm going to change it too.
But you think that's more so than a suspension? I mean, because really, you want to address the.
If that will end this debate and get us through here.
Well, it's not because I have another question.
No,
oh,
no.
I do.
if we switch to that.
Yeah, still because 311-5018.
Yeah.
Was requesting within 10 days. Was there actually a violation? Did anybody request?
She can't.
That
possibly.
That doesn't.
Violation.
Was there, potentially, you can't.
No, it's a violation.
Potential car accident.
She cannot do it today.
That's not my question. I'm asking. Can you find a violation for no one's actually asked for records? They haven't been violated a 10-day thing. Can we actually find a violation of that?
No.
Yeah. So I think we have to strike 8 also.
There's no possible way that she could ever do that though.
Yes, she could. They're just not complete.
Yeah.
It doesn't say they have to be completed medical records. It just has to
provide. But we would still have a violation to find a violation. So I think 8 has to be struck.
Okay, so.
Sorry.
I am going to.
Amend your.
No, I'm going to rescind. No, I'm not going to rescind. I'm going to rescind all the CA part, right? On the violations, I'm going to amend that to remove R311-5018. Okay? Happy now? No more discussion on that?
There's no answer.
No more discussion.
And for the consent agreement, exactly what Mr. Harris just said.
Okay. Second.
Can I clarify the medical or the violations? Is it 21502L? So all the information in L cannot. Has not been documented.
Well, that was my question because we got name, address, and all that, which is probably already documented. So it's
we
like,
don't know which ones are documented and which ones aren't.
Yeah, but again, we're finding violations for things we don't know, though. That's my big concern there, is like I said, can they now come back and say, look, the phone number, or the name, address, and phone number is on here, so this violation needs to go to court now, we're gonna contest this.
Well, especially since you don't know if she half wrote the record, because all she didn't do was complete it.
It's a consent agreement, so if they, you know, if they have concerns regarding the conclusions of law, they can, you know, bring those to the attention.
It's a guide for, hey, when you're checking these, make sure that these are all in there.
Well, it's a guide, but when you have it under violation, it's not a guide anymore, it's a violation.
Well.
That goes on the record.
She has violated it.
We don't know.
One of those 100, probably.
We don't know every single thing that was violated, no.
You could do 2 through 10.
Well, yeah, I mean, so that's the thing, is it's like, I mean, it's hard to just do a blanket statement of L1.
You know how much time I spent making sure this was just exactly right, so this wouldn't take very long?
It's because we really just can't go back and do anything back in time. It's like, put a $1,000 fine, slap her hand, don't do it again, and put a practice monitor in. Done.
Yeah, because I don't want, well, we want the files marked so that the next inspection will know whether things have been corrected or whether the behavior's continuing.
Yeah, but I mean, we're trying to go back and put the bullet back in the gun at this point. We can't do it. These records are done. If we want to say within 30 days, complete those and give us information on they're completed, cool, that's fine for me. But $1,000 fine for the previous ones, move on, go forward and have a practice monitor for a year. This could be done really quick.
Could 21 just be a standalone failure to maintain adequate medical records?
Yeah, period.
Okay. Yeah, that would work too then.
I'll see and withdraw all my as what's the wording for that? See the statute, it says as related.
Yeah, as related to ARS.
Withdraw all the as related rules.
Okay, then do you still want 12, or were you thinking about professionally acceptable procedures on that?
12 was the ethics, and it went to the professionally acceptable.
James was pretty adamant about.
Because 21 is failure to maintain adequate records. A veterinary medical service provided.
Yeah.
So, can I make a motion? Or are we still on the motion on the table?
Well, we have an amended motion that's amended.
We've been trying, but it hasn't been seconded. Yeah, it hasn't fully amended.
Do you want to table that motion? I can try one?
Table it.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to find a violation of ARS 32-22-32-21 for failure to maintain adequate records of veterinary services provided for the 100-plus records from 2019 till today. And I'll just make that as my violation at this point. I'm going to talk about everything from there.
Second.
Have we already talked?
What? Well, as like I said, this is a very simple thing. We can just get it done real quick.
Okay.
I promise.
So,
Called me last week and let me know.
Roll call. Roll call for it, Dr. Jane.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Dr. Jane's an aye. Mr. Lowy?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Holloman?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye. All right, so now we can do a consent agreement. So do we have to adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law? So I would make a motion to adopt the findings of fact and our findings of fact and conclusions of law as our conclusions of law.
Second. Roll call again.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lohi?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay.
All right. Now, we already asked priors, we said, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There were no priors. Okay, so I will make a motion to assess a $1,000 penalty because this was 3+ years of records, and a lot of money was made in those 3+ years, so $1,000 for all the records, and then we'll say complete any of the records within the last 30 days, and I want to have a practice monitor or whatever we're going to call it for this specific doctor looking at these records to review, I don't know how many records you guys want to say, and report a quarter, or send a quarterly report to us on X number of records. What do you guys want? 10, 15, 2?
I would say let's just get the report that shows that they've been done or not, because
But he's gonna have to review certain ones just to make sure they're adequate and full of everything they need. So do you want him to review 10 every quarter?
How do we know what's a he?
Gotcha.
Do we
the person assigned.
Do we need a practice monitor, or can we just rely on receiving the report from the software quarterly to?
I would have practice monitor, because I want to make sure that they're actually putting everything in the records, not just clicking, oh, it's complete.
Going forward.
Yeah, so this is, again, this is, this is on them.
Then make them do a medical records CE course.
Yeah, we can do that too.
Do 3 hours of CE, or 6 hours of CE in medical record keeping, and you have to show us quarterly the report out of the, whatever system you're using, that shows that you don't have uncompleted records.
Well, if we're just going to get a report of uncompleted records, I would like them to submit some records for us to review each quarter then too. Even if we just got 3 records, just so I can see how they're doing it. Because we need to have someone actually see, because they could be starting and doing it wrong, and no one's looking at it, and now we're like, well, I thought I was doing it right for the last year.
Well,
we still suck.
Or engage your premise holder to ensure that medical records for the practice are in accordance with board.
You can do that too, have the,
right?
have the premise holder.
Put it on
holder.
Them, I don't want to be reviewing these records.
Well, that's why make them pay someone else to actually have an outside review. I think that's fine. Have them, that outside reviewer sends us a quarterly report. They review 10 records each quarter, and they let us know, yep, we're doing fine. We do that for a year. It's 4 times they're paying for something, and we're done.
Well, they could pay for it, or they could have the premise holder do it. I actually kind of like the premise holder doing it, because it puts the onus back on them to make sure that this is happening.
That's my concern.
That's fine, yeah.
Is are we not concerned about the responsible veterinarian's role in this?
I am.
Mm-hmm. I am.
They've been allowing. Like, Congress knows it's been going on this long,
it's
and nobody cares.
Going on. What's the responsible veterinarian supposed to be doing if it isn't monitoring? Yeah.
All right, that was nice and quick, Dr. Wright.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I roll.
And so, Dr. Wright, would you say that's a board-approved monitor?
Yes.
Okay.
But that monitor could be the premise holder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If we approve,
brings
them in. Yeah.
And then it was 6 hours of CE.
Yeah, I think 6 hours is fine. I mean, this is 3.5 to 4 years.
It's a big deal. I was going to say 3, but I'm like, this is a big deal. Like,
yeah.
Make it painful.
6 hours. That's exactly right.
Good.
Okay, so we're done with that. Can we vote on that? Is there a second on it?
Anybody second it?
I don't know.
A quarterly report showing the statement of how many open, like, I don't, uncompleted cases, yeah. However, that report was called.
Okay.
And it was a year probation?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, let's do roll call one more time.
If not signed within 30 days,
please. Oh, thank you, yes. Yeah, if not signed within 30 days, bring them to an informal.
Miss Griffin.
And double the fine.
Aye. Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Wow, that was painful.
Okay. It's like, yeah, where are we? What were we on?
Okay. Time to go home now.
Seriously. We are way behind now. So
we
section
are way behind.
Number 4, number 5, 2273, in regards to John Montana, DBM, board may review, discuss, and take action on continuing education completed in compliance with consent agreement, and they return license to active status. Okay, we have a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
A motion and a second. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, now down to section number 5. Board may review, discuss, and take action on veterinary license applications. First up is Kylin Champ, and Ms. Solomon, you are the lead.
Yes, this was a public intoxication charge from 2019, which has been expunged. The state of Tennessee has expunged, so I move approval.
Next time just don't say I think we're not supposed to say the part you just said.
Oh, okay.
That's okay though. So just say that she had a record, but you can't actually list
so
off.
So even on the next one, I can't say DUI.
I don't aggravate it, just make sure.
I know. I was being funny.
Okay.
Normally we do state.
But not
and
when
we state how old.
Not when they're expunged.
Thank you. Thank you for the correction. So move approval of the veterinary license application for Kylin Shep.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Second one, Katrina Van Zandt.
Yes. This was, now I can say what this one is, right? A DUI from 2011, and it's sufficient time has passed, there have been no problems, so I would move approval of Katrina Van Zandt's veterinary license application.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second to approve. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Number two, board may review, discuss, and take action on licensees and certificate holders who did not complete required continuing education by January 31st, 2023. The first one is Will Pritchard, CBT. Mr. Lohe, do you get these ones?
Will seems to be confused about how this whole thing is working. I'm still not sure he understands that he can just wait and pay.
Yeah, I don't think he does.
So.
Why am I not finding this again? Which folder is it?
I'm not worried about his past.
Okay.
10 hours that he hasn't done.
It's in the folder.
If he's not renewing.
Yeah, there's not much.
He can't renew.
Yeah.
So I'm just.
No action.
Say we take no action on this. It's all in his court, he's got to renew, and then he can catch up on the hours.
Next one, Todd Metcalf, DVM.
Metcalf was the, he was going to finish him up by Friday.
And he did.
And he did. So I move we accept his makeup work and move on.
Perfect.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Next up, Teresa Jewettin, DVM.
Yeah, this one's going to be a little different here. She checked the box and said that she did all of her stuff, and then she didn't do it.
May I interject and say she has been contacting me almost every day for the past few days with an update. She thought she was going to finish last night, but she emailed this morning to say she was able to finish. Hopefully she'll finish tonight.
So does that make any difference?
I don't know. And, you know, to kind of put these in context, remember that they were supposed to have them done by December 31st.
Yeah.
And then you guys all gave them another month to do it.
Right.
So these are just like the hangover people who were on the last agenda.
So, but
still didn't
but
get it.
Everybody else, did they mark it that they did it?
So I did, I think I did tell them to go ahead and renew.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I don't remember specifically saying, go ahead and write stuff that you
did
had
she
done.
Call you or did you catch this?
I think she called us.
So she did initiate it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. She recognized that she didn't have
she didn't have the 20.
Yeah.
Okay, well then that changes my perspective on it.
Okay.
ARS 32. We're not going to go that direction then. All right, so if that's the way it went down, then she's going to be in the same boat. And
as long as she finishes.
As long as she finishes before the end of the month.
Okay.
It's forgiven and forgotten this time.
But tell her tonight.
Yeah, tonight, absolutely by tonight. And make sure
and we might get it next
and,
week.
And make sure she calls Dr. Jane to let her know she did finish it.
So we don't have to do anything on that. Okay, number three, board may review, discuss, and take action on requests from Liana Tay, DBM, regarding the use of the licensure by endorsement application pathway. Do you want to give a little background, Victoria?
Sure. So Dr. Tay would like to apply for licensure, but based on our internal review, we don't believe that she would actually be able to meet the requirements of any of the pathways that we have. So she and the Arizona practice that wants to hire her is asking, hey, can the board look at this? And maybe you all will see it differently than I saw. Or if you have any other options. I did try to give her other, you know, brainstorming options of, you know, while she couldn't get licensed the right way, there eventually she can. She's going to wait a year or so.
Wouldn't it be quicker just to take the NAVLE again?
it would be.
That's what I was.
That's what I thought, but then I, yeah.
Of course, I haven't ever had to take it.
Fun to do, so yeah.
So, easy for me to say.
It says she took it in California, was she licensed?
By endorsement or cannabis recognition.
So where was she practicing before?
Australia.
But she said she took the NAPLE, the paperwork said California. Was she licensed in California?
No, that just means when they say that, that means the state that receives their score. Or the state that's, some states approve, like we used to approve them to sit for the NAPLE. So in California, still approves them, like if she thought she was gonna go there, she would have done it through California.
Do we happen to know her immigration status or alien status, that she's able to work in the United States?
I do not know that.
And we don't have documentation that the school she referenced, that it was an AVMA accredited one, correct? She said it was, but do we have any documentation or?
I believe that we looked at our list of accredited schools and it was on, it was listed.
Okay, cool.
So, it's kind of a rock and a hard place.
We deal with this kind of thing from, with vets from Mexico all the time, don't we? It's like, it is what it is, it's, if you don't qualify, you just don't qualify.
Well, she's, it's a little different with that because she actually went to an accredited school, she has been working, I'm sure she's very highly, you know, skilled. It's just the way the law and the rules are written is it says, you know, you have to have worked in US or Canada. And she, all her work has been in Australia, so it's not like a third world country, you know?
Right.
So, she's probably, you know, that's the hard part, right?
So can we make exceptions like that though, or?
Not legally, no.
Yeah.
I think easiest route is to suggest you retake the NAPLE, I agree.
Is there another, okay, I'm just gonna tell you, Jane, if somebody came and told me that I needed to retake the NAPLE in order to practice, I might be finding a different career, like if I had to go back and study all that, it's gonna take you a year to study it all. Like it's not a simple little test.
I'm trying to find a way for her to do it.
There's just, yeah, it's still, we're beholden to statutes on licenses and stuff.
Did you say there was another way, like wait a year or something?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Like, to me, that's.
It's a better, yeah.
She could do universal recognition if she gets a license in another state, and another state, she may be able to get the license, I don't know, probably. New York's pretty easy to get a license in.
Or California.
And she never has to work.
Not California.
For universal recognition, you don't even have to have worked in that other state, you used to have a license in that other state.
So New York used to be easy to get licenses, go to New York, come over here, work in like a humane society or somewhere where you don't have to have a license, and then reapply in a year.
Yeah, so there is a way, it's just.
And then you don't have to find out, right?
It's not by law. Maybe an internal thing, but it's not by law.
It's definitely an internal thing.
I mean, I know we can't violate the law, but are we really gaining anything from this? Like, by telling her to go get a license somewhere that she doesn't have to practice, we're not doing anything, we're not making sure she's a better veterinarian, we're not making sure she knows anything, we're not.
Complying with the law.
Yeah, it doesn't make the law make sense.
It's a legal question.
That's for across the street, we have to apply what they give us. Doesn't matter if we like it or not.
We don't have the authority to.
Yeah, I'm not sure though that we should be telling her what.
The spirit of the law versus.
That wouldn't be directing, this should be all off the record.
Yeah, I think, you know, Victoria has, you know, spent a lot of time trying to, you know, staff this with her, and I think the message needs to be, you know, that, you know, like the previous conversations, the board was unable to find any exceptions or pathways to licensure at this time.
So could she become could she lecture 1 hour a week at Midwestern and become a faculty and then practice outside of Midwestern?
No, you have to be there for a year before you can start getting a license outside of there.
She's still got that year thing.
Yeah. Which is somewhere else.
Oh, I take it back. She could work at Midwestern because Midwestern can hire anybody. That's why I suggested faculty. You don't have to graduate from a credit school.
That's right.
I think.
Yeah, that's what they changed.
That piece, I'm not sure if, I'm trying to remember if they have to follow other requirements. But I had suggested that, so that's probably.
No, because we were told to trust them because they were just gonna do the right thing.
Right.
I'm still bitter about that.
So they definitely have less requirements.
But
they had that one guy that was, come on, like a Nobel Prize student at winning whatever.
Still need license, but either way. Yeah, I mean, there's just, we're beholden to the legislature. I mean, she can use that year to lobby the legislature to change the law, but I mean, we can't do anything. As much as we want to, we cannot do anything. This is not really something we spend time on, but we just have to move on. We just can't do anything.
I like what you just said. Move on. Madam Chair, I'd like to see 20 more.
Section number four, board may review, discuss, and take action on improving board member attendance and agency funding for the American Association of Veterinary State Boards Board Basics and Beyond Training.
Yeah, he gets to go to that.
That's what move we funded.
Didn't you want to go?
Oh, yeah, that's me. Sorry. I'm still thinking about the Natalie.
I'm still terrified.
Well, I think we should approve Dr. Thompson to go. Why not?
Well, just to come, Dr. Thompson, when they bring the Natalie back, you can take it. They give you the opportunity to take it if you want to. Just for fun.
Just for fun.
Just for funsies.
Just for fun.
Yes. To show you how much you've actually forgotten.
Exactly.
Exactly. Birds, pigs.
Yeah. Okay. So do we need to...
So we're going to approve her to go and approve funding for her to go.
So moved.
Real quick question. I'm sorry. What
was your name? Second.
Annalise, thank you.
She and Anne's funding.
That works for staff too, right? I mean, that would be a good thing for staff to go to, or is that just a board member thing?
I think only one person can go.
Oh, is it? Okay.
At a time. And that's why we do it that way. But that's something we can look into. Cool. She could definitely go to conference.
It's a good question.
I'm just curious.
So have a motion and a second to approve her. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Off you go. Number five, board may review, discuss, and take action on requests for continuing education approvals. First one is San Diego County Veterinary Medical Association's 2023 Spring Conference.
They did have CE information, so. But do we have to assume it's one unit for every 1 hour? Every unit, one of them said 12.5 or something units, six units of CEs a day, and there were six sections in a day, so we're assuming each section is...
Yeah, they have an email. Vet CE hours are 12 total, six per day, RVT six total for the one day,
So they have to complete the entire day and get the six. They can't just complete three of the six increments and
we
get
three.
We can
do them all individually, can't we?
They
didn't put the times on them.
Correct.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Yep.
Yeah. It is. It's listed as a block.
So it's six CEs or nothing.
Because when is this? April.
Yeah. Do they have time to correct?
I don't know. Usually, because I've done some of these San Diego ones before, usually you're registering for the thing, and it's not like other conferences where you're picking tracks, like you're literally in this track.
In classrooms.
So I don't think people really like go to it and only go to half. You know what I mean? I think that it is an all or nothing.
Okay. We should do an all. Go for it, yeah. 6 hours per day.
Yep. So, is that a motion to approve?
Okay. Second.
Motion and a second to approve. San Diego County Conference. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next one is the California Veterinary Medical Association's 2023 Pacific Veterinary Conference. This one's June 9th through the 12th. Not want to take a vacation. Can you say the vacation? That does not sound like a vacation.
A vacation? That did sound. I think on the last page they give the CE breakdown of their booklet.
I
Where does it say the max and whatever, because they keep it all there.
15, right?
28.5. For.
Yeah. Well, on the schedule, it says each one what it is. They're all like one CEU, so.
Broken out, yeah.
I think as long as.
Page 18.
I thought they usually, I mean, realistically, you really can't do more than 8 in a day, right? Or 10 in a day?
But they actually did break it down.
If you're working long hours?
Yeah.
Isn't that the way they usually do it? I mean, you get the one credit for the one you went to, but you can't go to 20 of them and say, oh, I only slept 4 hours, but I was there for 20 hours. Just because they offer 20 hours in one day doesn't mean you went to all of them.
I think you have to like sign in or sign out with each one you go to.
Yeah.
That's how all the other conferences are.
Because they're the ones that have to confirm by certificate.
Before they get the certificate, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, certain states, I don't know if California requires, I know Texas does, but so like, so a lot of conferences will have that digital recording. I don't know if a individual.
A lot of them are going to the digital.
They put an RFID in your name tag or something. So you walk through the scanner.
We can do it with cows, we can do it with people.
Western.
They do, that's what they started with.
Need to.
Western states does that.
Move approval.
That's how the ear tag guys sold those scanners.
Yeah.
Had the vets walk through them.
I might have to go to 1:30, it's my concern, so. You guys are gonna be.
Okay, we have a motion, a second.
Okay, to approve the California Vet Conference, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Board may review, discuss, and take action on 2022 Equal Opportunity Report and 2023 Non-Discrimination Policy.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I would just ask you to approve this policy and report. It's the same thing we do every year, and we have nothing to report.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion and a second to approve, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Board may review, discuss, and take action on letter from Joseph Levenq, DVM, regarding his vaccination program in La Paz County.
So it's actually a continuation of CE request, right?
No.
No.
He's been taken care of. Madam Chair, members of the board, so I shared this, it's not often that we get handed letters, wanted to share that with the board. Dr. Levesque is well-known to our agency. He's just, you know, the old school vet who checks in with the board staff once a year and just kind of gives us his progress and things. But he is, you know, up in years, and I think he's just saying, you know, I can't keep doing this. And just so you all know.
Take over.
You know, I don't know that he understands what the board's role is and supply and demand, that kind of thing, but I just wanted to share that.
So if any of you want to go to La Paz County.
Just don't tell Senator Borelli about that guy.
Okay, so thank you for his, for sharing his letter. And yeah, I hope he can retire before. But I appreciate you sticking it out to help people in that area, so.
I just finally figured out how to spell diarrhea.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I couldn't help but laugh. I'm like, I can't either. I can't either. All right, number 8, board may review, discuss, and take action on agency conflict of interest policy.
Madam Chair, members of the board, so this is, a lot of other agencies actually have a written policy about this conflict of interest. So as you have in your packets today, we'll have you fill those out again if you can today. It's something we started to do a couple years ago, where annually we have you re-sign these conflict of interest. And so we just thought it was prudent to actually put it in the policy that we maintain now.
Sounds good. All right, next up, number 9, board may review, discuss, and take action on premise license applications and inspections. Responsible veterinarian is Jamie Pickett, DVM. These are for the PetSmart Veterinary Services in Peoria and Tucson, and Mr. Logie, you are the lead.
I'm gonna pass that off, dude.
I'm gonna recuse myself from 9A and B. Oh, and do I need to sign anything anymore, or just get it on the record?
You still have to sign something, Tracy might have a blank one for you. So I'm gonna jump in, so I apologize that I just gave you the handouts and things today. This was kind of involved, so I'm just gonna go over it, so I'm afraid it's not gonna be fast. So first, we're gonna actually start with the Tucson location. So the Tucson application has actually been withdrawn from consideration from the person who submitted the application However, because there was underlying concerning behavior of the responsible veterinarian owner of the practice, we want to go over what those things were. So started off with, as an application was submitted November 22nd, and when I called the phone number to find out about the inspection, I actually ended up calling a practice that's in Peoria, not knowing that the practice in Peoria existed. So both these places were open and had been open for some time, but we're just now getting this first application. And at that point, we still didn't have an application for Peoria. So that started off a flurry of activity. At that time, Dr. Pickett, who's the licensed veterinarian, responsible veterinarian, in our system, she was showing that she did not reside in Arizona. To hold premise license, you have to reside in Arizona. So I contacted her. She said, oh, yeah, I actually do. She formally changed her address to something in Arizona. So that was the piece of it. So Annalise and I conducted an inspection. We just drop in. So what these are, for those of you who are familiar with the old, these are like old Banfields moved out of these PetSmarts. And now it's like it's mostly like a drop-in. You just go to a kiosk. There's no receptionist. And just they take walk-in appointments primarily. So there was a, we just opened the door and walked in. There was a staff member there, no vets, nobody else. The staff member expressed a lot of concerns about and was shared that the telemedicine appointments had been happening there. So without a VCPR being established, she would take clients into her room, you know, do TBRs and things, get Dr. Pickett, you know, on a video call or something, and then Dr. Pickett would tell her what she should do as far as getting vaccines and things like that. So that's part of the underlying behavior that I mentioned. So they had relief vets very rarely, but every once in a while they were able to get relief vets who actually did things correctly. Let's see. Appointments were occurring at least a month before we received that premise application. There were diagnostics run before we ever got an application in October. Dr. Pickett completed a USC health certificate without seeing the pet. It was a big one. It certainly gives the appearance to the public that this is a hospital, there's a vet there, and there's pretty much seemed like there was never a vet there. Staff told us that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Annalise, that Dr. Pickett actually never went to Tucson.
Yeah, from what I remember, the staff member we interviewed stated that she had never visited the site by the time we interviewed her.
Yeah. So she never even had been there. Multiple rabies vaccinations were administered by the hospital manager while the exam was done virtually by Dr. Pickett. Again, no VCPR. Medications were prescribed to new patients, same thing. The staff was real concerned about that. So kind of just kind of overview, which is kind of very concerning and puzzling. It just seemed like, let's open this hospital. We're not ready. We don't have people, but we're opening anyway, is certainly what it was. So Dr. Pickett did respond to those potential violations and then shortly after said she was going to withdraw the application because she recognized that she wasn't properly staffed and she would reopen in the future. The other thing was they hadn't gotten a radiology license from Department of Health Services either. So then we'll move on to the application that we do have before us that's active is the Peoria location. This one's also owned by Dr. Pickett. The company is called VetJet. So again, did we go the next day? We went
like pretty, a week or two, couple days later.
Not too long after.
Yeah.
So then we just popped into the Peoria one, right? So they were super surprised because they had just turned in the application late also, right? And thought that they were gonna have 90 days to get their act together before we came. Well, they were surprised. So again, like a ton of violations that we would not expect to see on a brand new place, right? And those are listed. Annalise did a great job putting this table together of potential violations. So there's many things, but I just want to go over some things specifically. So that we didn't get the application. Let me start over. Here's a kind of a chronological thing. So they did a big direct order back in August, they first, by looking at records, they started providing some services probably to the pets that are in that store in early September. In October, the clinic actually opened. We didn't get a premise application until December 1st. And that was only, again, because me calling and figuring out they didn't have an application. Let's see. There is not a full-time veterinarian on staff at the premises. There is a relief vet there who covers 1 to 2 days a week, who at some point told Dr. Pickett that they shouldn't be doing telemedicine calls, and then allegedly that stopped pretty quickly after that. Dr. Pickett had been there maybe for 2 weeks period during this time, and they had other relief vets come in maybe once or twice, kind of rotating, but there was clearly a lack of continuity. If their test results came in, it was unclear if those results ever got relayed to clients or if they were done in a timely manner. There was concerns from staff as well as the veterinarians about that piece of it. Again, telemedicine appointments, things, same thing. The technician would take the client into a room, put Dr. Pickett on a video call, and they would kind of go from there. The pet had never been examined by a veterinarian at that practice. Let's see. Controlled substances. Emily's had questions about as far as there had been another vet there previously whose drugs were ordered under her DEA. We have questions about were they properly transferred. So that's not necessarily our issue, but something the DEA may want to know about. Same thing with, they didn't have a radiograph license. They didn't have a lot of things that they should have to be in compliance to begin with, but they hadn't even applied. I had contacted DHS and made them aware of that. Subsequently, DHS did go there and then find some sort of violations related to those things. Let's see. What else? So the other thing about them seeing pets before, we actually had an application. There is a PetSmart hotel in the PetSmart, so PetSmart hotel pets who would belong to you and I would be going to this PetSmart veterinary clinic, and the client would presumably not have any idea that this place wasn't properly licensed, and maybe there may not have even been a vet there for all we know. Annalise did a great job of looking at records and found like an odd thing of there was a store owned Bearded Dragon was euthanized on September 10th, but the euthanasia solution was not received until a couple of days later, and Propofol was opened a couple weeks later, and so it was unknown method of euthanasia is noted. There was no method noted in the record. Like, how did you do this? You didn't have the drugs to do it, kind of thing. We talked about that. The other thing, which isn't necessarily a board rule or anything, but certainly all their advertising advertises that they're an AHA hospital, both Tucson and Peoria, and they're not. Staff at both places said that AHA had never been there, they'd never heard anything about it, but clearly a website and even handouts when we were there, they were advertising it, flyers out.
They will maintain AHA.
Yeah, it says that we're
AHA
maintaining
accreditation.
Yeah, certainly. Infers that they have it and that they're maintaining it. Let's see. So they responded to those, you know, violations. Dr. Pickett indicated, you know, she definitely wants to comply and wants to do things right. She didn't really touch on the telemedicine piece of it, just said that she's aware now and that some attorney had told her that she could do it that way was her answer. Annalise and I went back on February 3rd and just dropped in. Things were much better. One other thing that seemed small, but at the time the staff told us, the first time we were there, that they had only gotten a mop the week before we were there, and they had been open now for several, been working for several months, and they just got a mop.
Cool.
So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Whoa. They did have a broom, though, right? They had a broom.
Yeah, they just received it like the day prior. Because they were borrowing the store's mop.
They were borrowing the store's mop, right, and there was this concern about cross-contamination if they had those kind of things. So when we, I guess the good news is, when we went back, things were much better. They had a mop, and there was clean water in it. And most of those things have been fixed. However, we found several more potential violations, nothing that, you know, was shocking particularly, kind of on the lesser side, but nonetheless, there's more. There were three of them that were repeat violations from the first one, which was, they had told us they had fixed their after hours voicemail where you have to say there's the emergency referral. That still wasn't fixed. They just had one expired pharmacy item. Previously, they had a bunch. And we had asked them to get their autoclave professionally serviced because it was apparently old, left over from Banfield and rusty and icky. So they hadn't done that, although they had hospital staff had cleaned it and stuff. It did look better, but you know, so. Let's see. Also, the first time we were there, they had not done any surgeries because they said they were waiting for this a full-time vet to be coming. We told them at the time, the first time, that they shouldn't do surgeries because they weren't prepared. They didn't have the things to do it. There was a problem with the oxygen.
They didn't know how to use the anesthesia, the oxygen concentrator.
They clearly weren't ready. So we told them that they needed to do a change of scope request before they do surgery. So we get there February 3rd, they had just done a surgery. They didn't have the anesthesia log. They did have now they had the proper tools. They had packs. They had things, that drugs that they should have, but they hadn't followed the instructions. Still advertising that they're an AHA hospital. Dr. Pickett afterwards responded to the inspection. She also said, and she's correct, that the full-time vet that they hired now has a temporary license, so he should be there now, I think, as of at least today, I think. So that solves one of those problems, at least, of do we know someone's, the pets are actually getting examined, and is there continuity of care? And so, as I go fast, so Tucson, as a premise application, is off the table because it was withdrawn. So I would still recommend approving the premise license for Peoria because they did respond. And remember, there's this overarching law that says that any state agency has to give you a chance to fix something before they take actions. That's kind of what we've done. And although there were two or three things that were repeat violations, I don't know that it's enough to hold somebody's license up about. However, the board may want to consider opening a case against Dr. Pickett to investigate several different things, such as providing telemedicine treatment without a veterinary client-patient relationship at each of these locations, operating both locations for at least several months before submitting a premise license application. We have reason to believe, based on staff comments, that she actually doesn't live in Arizona, so that to be a part of it, for her to somehow provide evidence that she actually is a resident of Arizona versus just giving us an address of where she claims to live. So we might want to look at that. So that, as far as
where do you file your
case,
taxes? Mm-hmm. Where do you file your taxes? That's going to be telling me usually where you're claiming residency at.
So what the board may want to look at is, the board does have a substantive policy statement related to residency as related to universal recognition licensure. So that, you know, if it comes to it, I think right now, the part of the case, we would just be asking her, but you could probably require her to follow that policy, which is taxes, Arizona driver's license, Arizona car registration, Arizona voter registration, or if she's in the military, there's a military form. So that would be that. And then I don't know if there's a concern about writing a health certificate.
Yeah, that's huge for me.
If that's a report to that or the USDA.
I think we need to investigate that, but that needs to be forwarded to the USDA, probably after we investigate it.
Okay.
I don't want to say anything now. I mean, it's good to send now, but I'd rather investigate it before we open that can of worms, personally. I'm with Mr. Lohi, though, with his nod.
Okay, and my same concern about, and the DEA as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we don't really know what was going on.
Transfer of control services.
And who was there and who was doing what.
Were we, even though we weren't licensed here, were we approved through like the Corporation Commission? I mean, are they aware that we were operating a business, or did we just start operating? I mean, tax licenses and all that. I'd like to get that information too.
That's a good point.
Is that something we can look at?
ACC online.
Yeah, I don't know.
You could do a quick online
search. I can look at Arizona Corporation Commission to see.
I don't, does it have dates of when people, I'm not sure.
I mean, tax license should be public law too. I don't want you to have to do too much, but I mean, I would hope we'd have a tax license that was filed with the city and the state also. So I mean, there's a lot of things. I'm having a lot of questions here.
So there are a lot of questions, as that was my fast speed reading through the concerns.
With the health certificate, I just want to make sure. So what had happened specifically is the staff there at the Tucson location filled out the PDF 7001 form, emailed it to the doctor, she signed it, emailed it back.
Yeah.
So that's what, I know the 7001 forms are expired, I know that some states still take them and all that fun stuff, but that's what happened. It wasn't.
Yeah, you can still do the paper ones, but yeah, it's still, that's not how it's supposed to be done.
But that's how, that was the process.
So I would like those records.
Good. So I move we open the case.
Yeah. Yes.
Second.
Including all those things and anything else you come across while you're looking up those.
And then a second to open a case of against the PetSmart.
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
I apologize. Can we take a real short break?
Can we vote on it real quick?
Take a real short break. We don't have to vote on it.
Okay.
We don't have to vote on the break,
right after
but
the
we
vote.
Have to vote on opening the case.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So, we'll vote that you can go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So, all those in favor of opening the case? Say
aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay. Break time.
Let you go.